Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Christiana Hokum, legal counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom. Think back to your middle school or high school days. Who naturally ran faster, the boys or the girls? Well, three high school girls from Connecticut, represented by their moms, have filed a lawsuit over a policy that allows transgender students to participate in sports based on their gender identity. That means a biological male who identifies as a female can race alongside the biological girls. Christiana, would you unpack the lawsuit in the Constitution state?
Girls deserve to compete on a level playing field. And right now, the Connecticut Athletic Association allows males to compete in their sport, so their sport isn't level. It's not a fair playing field. And that, frankly, violates Title IX. Title IX is a federal law that was designed to ensure that girls like Chelsea and Selena and Alana can have the same and equal athletic opportunities with boys, experience the thrill of victory, to receive those medals, and frankly, to compete for those college scholarships. That just is not happening right now in Connecticut, which is why we filed the lawsuit.
Great. I appreciate that you did that. So how does a policy like this one in Connecticut impact female athletes long term?
Well, we all know that both science and common sense tell us that males are generally physically bigger, faster, and stronger, which means that they are taking away opportunities from deserving female athletes in Connecticut and, frankly, across the country as well. There's approximately 17 states with these types of policies, and it's happening not just in track and field, but also in sports like baseball, basketball, volleyball, wrestling, cross country, and the list goes on and on. So if these policies continue to proliferate, we ultimately could see the end of female sports as a separate category. You know, young women aren't going to really have a lot of motivation to get involved in girls' sports if they know that a biological male can just identify as a girl, come in, destroy her hard work, frankly, and take away those medals and those podium spots.
Yeah. I saw that recently Chelsea Mitchell won a race last week against one of these transgender athletes, a biological male, and she was asked, does this nullify your law? Lawsuit, and she said, oh no, plenty of girls are still losing because of those natural physical abilities.
That's exactly right. What the mainstream media has not reported is that one of the male athletes false started, which then opened the door for Chelsea to go in and to win that particular championship. The male who false started was ranked number 7 in the entire nation in this particular event in the girls category. So there's really little question that had he run that race, that Chelsea would not have walked away with a gold medal that day. But also it's important to understand Chelsea has lost personally 4 state championship titles and 2 All New England awards and countless other medals and participation opportunities to these 2 biological males. So it's just not fair to our female athletes, and that's why Alliance Defending Freedom is trying to restore a level playing field for these girls.
There's a reason we've had separate boys and girls locker rooms for decades. Do you think Connecticut's athletic policy opens students up for privacy danger in the name of not discriminating based on sex?
Quite possibly. I mean, and it certainly is the logical extension of this type of policy. My Connecticut athletes haven't experienced this directly, but I am certainly aware of young high school female athletes in other parts of the country who, because of these discriminatory policies that allow males to compete in girls' sports, it has also opened up the girls' locker rooms and shower and changing areas to biological males as well, which has been extremely difficult for these young women to deal with. They have had to go to school administrators and ask, can you accommodate us? Can you find somewhere else for us to change and shower? Because we're not comfortable doing so in front of a biological male, and frankly, observing him showering and changing as well. So yes, we have separate men's and women's sports for a reason. We also have separate men's and women's changing areas and restrooms and locker rooms for a reason as well. And that's because biology matters. Our bodies are different. And when law and reality fail to recognize that men and women are different, people get hurt, and particularly young women.
Christiana, the Bible's pretty clear about the distinctions between genders. Why do you feel like it's so hard for some people to accept?
I think there's a sense in which we as a culture have made an idol out of our own identity. And there's a real sense in which we have rejected God and his good design for humanity in creating us male and female. And we know that when we reject God's good design, bad things happen and people get hurt. So that's what I think we're seeing right now. The athletics context, of course, is a good example of that. But more broadly in society, as we are changing our laws in such a way that rejects the idea of God creating us male and female, women particularly suffer.
Where can people find out more about this case that's happening in Connecticut?
Listeners are welcome to reach out to adflegal.org to learn more about the case and Alliance Defending Freedom.
That's Christiana Holcomb with Alliance Defending Freedom. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.